having too good a time to break them up. They're having too much fun. You guys need to get a time during the week to see each other. Well, that's what they want to do every morning. Well, I haven't seen him since yesterday. I got to talk to him for half an hour. No. You're older than I am. I got to respect my elders, right? All right, James 3. James 3. James chapter 3, starting verse 13. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. In verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, your love, your long-suffering, your patience. We do thank you, Lord, for just your many, many, many blessings, Lord, throughout this past week. And, Lord, the hope and trust for the many more to come this week. And, Father, we just thank you for health and strength and safety to be able to be here today. And we do pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be here because of physical needs or other situations, Lord, that you'd just work in hearts, work in bodies, Lord, that they'd be strengthened. And, Father, just that we'd be humble this morning, that we'd receive from your word what we need. Father, to have our needs met from you and your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at easy to be entreated. We've been looking at comfort the feeble-minded. You know, people get faint, they get feeble-minded, they lose their confidence, their hope, their patience. Let's look in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. We have to be sober-minded, otherwise we are going to be feeble-minded. Pretty simple, one or the other. So 1 Peter 5, and verse 8, 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And then verse 11 here, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. If we're going to avoid being feeble-minded, we've got to be sober. I mean, we looked at this a few weeks back, but we also got to be vigilant. We got to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be vigilant in guarding our mouths, be vigilant in guarding our minds, guarding our time, guarding our finances, and all these things. Because, you know, it only takes one area, it only takes one foothold, one opening for the devil to get into our life and wreak some havoc, really, really wreak some havoc. But then verse 10, but the God of all grace, see, it's by God's grace. It's you know, the grace of God teaches us things, it says in Titus. And actually, let's look there real quick. The Lord brought that verse to mind this week. I was thinking about that a little bit. But in Titus 2, in verse 11, Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Verse 12 again, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." We've got to be sober. And God's grace teaches us to be sober, to really be serious about the things of God. Now, it doesn't mean we can't laugh, of course. We've got to have some laughter. But, you know, we've got to be sober-minded. We've got to realize that the days are evil. We've got to redeem the time, or else we're going to give the devil a foothold. And then back there in 1 Peter 5, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." We've been called. And it's not just called to salvation. It's called to live a holy life. It's called to use our spiritual gifts. It's called to realize we have a ministry. Otherwise, if we're not certain of all these things, we're going to be feeble-minded. We're going to faint. Or at the very least, we're not going to be as effective as the Lord wants us to be. But that grace of God, and what is the end of that goal? What is the end of that suffering? It's that we're perfect. That God has brought us to what he wants to bring us to. That we're established, that we're strengthened, that we're settled. That we're not washed here and there by life's situations, life's struggles, life's problems. But we're steadfast in knowing that whatever's going on, God is good, God's taking care of us, and whatever we need, he's providing for us. Excuse me. But let's look in 2 Corinthians 4. We want to just look back at a few things that we've seen so far and then continue on here in feeble-minded. But 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 1, things that try to make us faint, feeble-minded, discouraged, distracted, however we want to think about it, frustrated, irritated. A lot of ids in there. Irritated, frustrated, disappointed, all kinds of stuff we can deal with, isn't there? But in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And I know we've mentioned this before, but the Lord wants us to realize that we have a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. It's not just Paul writing this to the believers at Corinth. It's not just him that has a ministry or those that were with him ministering. It's everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a spiritual gift or maybe more. And we need to know what those are. We need to be utilizing those, using them. Sometimes it's within the church service. Many times it isn't. Many times it's during the week, praying for somebody, writing a note, giving a phone call, whatever it might be, helping somebody out, serving, whatever it is, we need to be actively involved in that. Because if we're not, we're going to be feeble. Because if we're not using our spiritual gift, we're not walking in the Spirit as God would have us to. But we all have a ministry. We all have a ministry. And then verse 16 of the same chapter here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We've got to see verse 15 here. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." And it's because of this. It's because we have God's grace. It's because we can be thankful. We have a lot to be thankful for that we don't faint. But when we lose sight of the fact that there's much to be thankful for, when we lose sight of the fact of God's grace in our life, things are going to start to overcome us. They're going to start to overcome our minds. You know, we're going to start dwelling on things we shouldn't. You know, we're going to let a thought go from here to there to here to there, and before we know it, we've our minds are where they shouldn't be, way down the path of where they shouldn't be. But Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." sometimes we struggle with being feeble-minded because we're not persevering enough. We don't endure enough. And we've seen from Hebrews about, you know, consider Jesus, you know, and what he endured, you know, for us. If we lack endurance, if we lack, you know, keeping on, think about what Jesus dealt with. But there's many things that happen day by day that try to get us to be feeble-minded. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Things don't go as planned. Well, do things ever go as planned? Sometimes that's the exception, that things go as planned rather than the rule. We got to be flexible. We got to trust God with our time. But we looked at this last week toward the end here, 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're in a war, and we know this, but sometimes we don't respond like soldiers to life's difficulties. Sometimes we don't respond like soldiers when people are trying to harass us or irritate us or whatever. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We've been chosen to be a soldier. We're in a war. And let's turn to Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. Excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 20. This whole idea of a soldier, this whole idea about being sensitive to the soldiers around us. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, which brought thee, I'm sorry, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And just like when he's talking about an actual military type war, a military type battle, and the key is not how many the enemy has, not if they have better machinery than us, horses, you know, that was the machinery of the day, right? It doesn't matter how well armed they are. It's that God is with us. And it's the same thing day to day, week to week, in our own lives. It's not about how strong Satan is. It's not about how many demons he has. It's not about the pull of the world, the flesh. It's about God's with us. God is right here, indwelling us. That is the key thing to meditate and focus upon. God is with us. God's right here. But what happens is we totally forget that. We totally forget God's right here, God's with us, and we start thinking, oh no, what about this? Oh no, I didn't expect this bill. Or oh, this hurts. Or, you know, whatever. But God's with us. So as it says here, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And there's another key here, and that is, children of Israel, remember what God has already done in your life. Remember the miracles that he already did. I mean, all the things that he did to bring them up out of Egypt. And we need to do the same thing. We need to see how God's grace has been abundant in our life for some of us for decades and decades and decades. We need to remind ourselves of that. You know, because sometimes we forget, wow, God did all these things and all these things and all these things, and we think of the thing only in front of us instead of what God has been doing for years and years and years for us, providing, helping, and so on. Verse 2, and it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle. See, we're already there. We don't have to go out to the battle. We're in the battle from the time we wake up. Whether we want to be in the battle or not, we're in the battle. And it's up to us. Are we going to be on the offensive, so to speak, spiritually speaking, with our minds, with our words, with our actions? And it shall be when ye are come nigh into the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. How can that be? I mean, they've got horses, they've got more people, because God's with them. And it's the same thing with us, because God is with us, and whatever we might be dealing with at work, in the neighborhood, whatever, God's with us. God promises, James 1, that if we need wisdom to deal with different situations, he's going to provide it for us. Not might, not hopefully, but will give us the wisdom to deal with our bosses and our neighbors and whatever. Other folks, other family members, whatever. But once again, let not your hearts faint. Don't let it happen. Prevent it from happening. Focus on the Lord. Focus on how good he is. Focus on how great he is. Focus on his power. He's right here with us. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And we forget that at times. We forget God is the one who's going, the battle's the Lord's. He's going to win it. But if we get in his way, it's going to be more of a challenge, not for us and him. Verse 5, and the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Are there any there that are fearful? Any there that are faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. This is the key here for us. we're in a war. We're in a battle. All of us. Together. And just like the officers here speak to the people, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? We need to be aware of others. What their struggles are. What they're dealing with. Let him go and return unto his house. Now, we don't want that. I mean, this could be almost used symbolically of people that aren't in church. They've gotten fearful, faint-hearted, or maybe distracted or disillusioned or whatever it might be. But you know what? That's one less person in the battle. Now, God can save by many or by few militarily here in Israel's situation. But if we have a Christian that we know who's kind of dropped out, you know, what's our role? We need to be an encouragement. We need to try to do something for them, help them, encourage them, whatever. But, and we need to pray. I'm not undermining prayer. But many times it needs to go beyond that for people to really see the love and the care. But we don't want people dropping out. We don't want people going and returning to their house. We want people to be actively involved. But that's what happens to people. They get faint-hearted. They get fearful. They get disappointed. Whatever. And they want it, and they kind of drop out. But see, here's another part of the key, though, is at the end of this verse here in verse 8, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. It's not just about that brother that's fearful or faint-hearted or both or whatever else they could be. It's going to impact us too. Because it says right here in the middle of this battle that the result of one in the battle becoming faint or fearing can have an impact on somebody else. And we might not even see the impact sometimes until somebody's just dropped out. You know, they've went home, so to speak, spiritually speaking, and they're not in the battle anymore. We need to be challenged by this because we're in this war together, and our scripture tells us that we need to, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we need to comfort the feeble-minded. And it's so very important. Let's turn back there, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's so very important. I don't want to say diagnose because we're not physicians. But we need to ask God for wisdom about what, I'm going to use another medical term, I guess, what's the ailment that this person's dealing with? Or maybe the question is, what am I dealing with that if I'm not careful, I'm going to go back to my house, so to speak, and kind of drop out. Now, they were commanded back there to have them go back because they did not want that influence, so to speak. But for us, it's different. Being feeble-minded is not one of the things, you know, that would be involved in church discipline like 1 Corinthians 5, other places. You know, so we need to engage them. We need to actively engage them, reach out to them, comfort them. We all know life's hard, and we all know that we at any time could be overcome by one or more of life's difficulties. Because we're all in the same boat. We're all flesh and blood. We're all susceptible to the same kind of tribulations and temptations and trials. But the idea here is if we're truly going to be what God wants, we need to go to the person with comfort. Now, obviously, sometimes when we go with comfort, we find out maybe there's other things involved. And then obviously we need to kind of alter our approach a little bit. But the point is, people need help. People need help. And we need to be the ones to provide it. It could be a note, it could be a phone call, it could be a visit, but we need to provide some comfort somehow, helping them along. But it's the key here is the comfort part. You know, the feeble-minded do not need a warning. They don't need a warning. And they don't need support either. Because the feeble-minded get off in their own thinking many times, and they don't need support for that wrong thinking. So don't misunderstand me. They don't need support for, well, life's too hard. No, it's not too hard. Or this situation in my life is just burying me. Don't let it bury you. It is tough, but don't let it overcome you. See, they don't need warning, but they also don't need support for, so to speak, going back to their house, spiritually speaking, like we saw there in Deuteronomy 20, where the faint-hearted and those were commanded to because they did not want that influence to be on the other soldiers. But our role here is to comfort them, encourage them, help them along in whatever they're dealing with. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Oh, you know what? No, wrong place. 2 Corinthians 10. At least I was heading to the right book. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. more about the war here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, excuse me, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the beginning point of being faint. This is the beginning point of being feeble-minded. We lose the battle in our minds. Of course, we know losing the battle in our minds is the beginning point of being unruly, whatever situation. Sometimes people need, well, we all need at all times the Holy Spirit giving us the scripture we need. And people that are feeble-minded, they need the scripture as well. Because they've lost the battle in their mind. They have succumbed, they've given in to, they've yielded to whatever fleshly, worldly, devilish type of struggle that they're dealing with. Now, sometimes the struggle is feeling sorry for oneself. Some people feel that's how they get feeble-minded. Well, my life isn't like somebody else's, or you know, I have this difficulty that I'm dealing with, or thinking nobody cares. Think about Elijah. We saw him last week. Magnificent, terrific, miraculous victory God wrought through him. In a matter of moments, he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. He just wants to be killed. Let me die. And think about somebody like Elijah. I mean, a great man of faith that God used mightily. And even he had a struggle like that. So any of us can have that kind of struggle. Any of us. But by the grace of God, you know, we can be steadfast. But the other person that isn't, that's struggling, it's in the mind right here. It's in the mind. They've got to get control of it. It's only going to be truth that's going to set them free. It's only the truth that's going to help them come out of their, well, in many instances, you know, people that are feeble-minded, they can be kind of depressed sometimes, you know, and woe is me. And, you know, I think we've all dealt with people like that at one time or another. And probably we've dealt with ourselves being like that at one time or another. You know, we get so consumed with this or that. But it's in the mind right here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And sometimes we think, well, they just need to get in church. You know what they do? They need to get in church. They need to stop retreating to their house, so to speak, like we saw there. But probably going to, you need to get in church. Probably not going to answer the door next time. Probably going to say, thanks, but no thanks. We got to have some comfort for them. And sometimes it's against our nature to comfort somebody that we know just needs maybe a boot in the backside. But that's our perception. Because the person that we might think needs a boot in the backside, they need a hug. They need some love. They need some care, concern. Really, that's what they need. And we got to provide that for them. You know, and that can come in many different ways. I mean, it might be a literal hug, but it might just be a note, call, whatever. Whatever it might be. But they need some comfort. Let's look also in 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 18. Excuse me, 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. All of us have got to war a good warfare. But if we're honest, sometimes our zeal just kind of ebbs and flows. You know, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Now, we need to avoid that, obviously. You know, we don't want to be like Ephesians 4, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And we don't want to be tossed to and fro by enthusiasm. Or, excuse me, wow, this was awesome. Oh, boy. You know, we don't want life to be like that. Life is full of fantastic things that God does. And life is also full of disappointments. Because I don't know about you, but God and I don't always see eye to eye. Even as tall as I am, he and I don't see eye to eye all the time. You know, I think he ought to do this, and he says, no, you're not that smart. Or I think you ought to have done it yesterday, Lord. No, you need to wait a little while and figure out who's on the throne. And it wouldn't be you, Mr. Crane. But we need, you know, God does that kind of thing. God, we have got to yield. We've got to yield. We've got to have humility. We've got to figure out, you know what? We don't always have all the answers. That's why we need wisdom. That's why we need wisdom enough to realize that the Lord always knows better. Always. There's not one time He doesn't. But we've got to yield to His timing, His plan, and so on. But in Timothy's life here, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. We've got to war a good warfare. Just like we saw there in 2 Corinthians 10, it starts right here. It starts right up here in our minds. Do we take things captive? Or do we just allow our minds to succumb, give in to, this is too hard for me, I can't handle this, or a whole lot of things. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit our works. Be busy serving Him all the time. All the time. Verse 19 here in 1 Timothy, holding faith. Holding faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It can't be a half-hearted effort on our part, nor can it be a half-hearted effort on the part of those that are feeble-minded. And that'd be part of the reason why they are feeble-minded. Is because in their mind, the battle got too great. But see, where's all the other soldiers coming alongside? Now, you know what? Let's be honest, okay? Not all people, when we come alongside them, are going to respond. Not everybody's going to want our help. Not everybody's going to want, not everybody's going to take God's prescription for how to fix the struggle they're having. Because it's just like us. You know, God gives us the scriptures, and He gives us the Holy Spirit, and He gives us, warning. You know, Lord's like, don't do that. Well, we don't always yield. And they're not necessarily going to yield all the time either. But the key is faith. And where's the faith come from? The Word of God. The truth is going to set us free. The truth is going to set them free. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23. We've got to realize it's a faith issue. So holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You know, that's another analogy or another way of looking at it. Is the soldier that went home, stopped fighting, stopped warring, or a shipwreck? I mean, if the ship's on the rocks, the ship's at the mercy of the sea, just going to be battered and bashed and washed and broken apart. And that sometimes is the lives of the people around us, because they have not focused on faith, not on the Word of God. It's not faith in the Word of God. It's a complete focus on, my life is hard. Bad things have happened to me. I can't handle it. Well, if they would just, after they said, I can't handle it, they would just look into the Word, look to God, that they'd get their answer, because God will help them. God will do it through them. But people, they don't look to God. They just continually look to themselves. James 4. James chapter 4. Two more verses here. James chapter 4. Verse 1, James 4, 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, verse 3, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now obviously this is talking about the wrong kind of war. Warring within ourselves, warring amongst ourselves to try to get what we want. But that's the kind of war that people fall prey to. Instead of fighting the good fight of faith, people give in to their flesh, give in to the temptations of the world. 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." This is the kind of war to get out of, the one with the flesh in the world. And the type of war to be involved in is, as we saw there in 2 Corinthians 10, not carnal methods, but truth, combating the world, the flesh, and the devil with the truth of God's word to help us overcome that part of the war we're involved in. But, you know, a lot of people, the feeble-minded, I mean specifically, they've just kind of given up. The battle in their mind is too great for them. It's too great for them. And it would kind of be like a soldier trying to fight by himself against a whole other army. Now, that's not usually how you go out to war. But can you imagine what the one soldier would think about his chances? Probably a negative number. And that's how some of the feeble-minded view things. They think it's me versus everything. And that, yes, it's not a right perspective, for sure. But yet, we must help them. We must be the one to come alongside, like the Holy Spirit coming alongside, being a helper. We're a part of that. We're a part of what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit ministers to other people. But I just pray we'd each be challenged by this. You know, because sometimes we think, oh, the feeble-minded, well, they just got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just, you know, do better. Well, they do. But grab a boot. Help them pull themselves up. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your love. And Father, we just thank you that in spite of the different struggles that each one of us have individually, you're patient and long-suffering, and Father, just very helpful, gentle with us, Lord, when we have those problems, Lord. And we just pray, Father, to have that same heart that you have toward us, one with another, Lord, when different ones of within our midst, Lord, could be struggling, or in our family, or different ones we know, wherever it might be, Father, that we'd just see how you're gentle with us, that we might be gentle with them, and really reach out and be a help. And we just pray, Lord, for sensitivity. We pray, Lord, for wisdom, for how you would have us to do that, and opportunities as well. And Father, just pray for you to continue to bless in this day. And Lord, that we would just have the humility, Lord, to allow you to lead in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.